Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. I will be getting into the TNA Impact Wrestling audio review here momentarily, but just want to take a moment to acknowledge the death of Balls Mahoney, who died on Tuesday at age 44. As I record this, still not a lot of details available, but I certainly want to extend my condolences to his friends and family. With that said, TNA Impact Wrestling last night, I got to be honest, the tail end of the show is when the news broke that Balls had passed away. And so I was already getting phone calls, and so I'm a bit distracted by during the tail end of the show, and unfortunately, I didn't have the DVR going, so I kind of blew it. So I certainly kept an eye on things, but I had the volume down, so I didn't get a chance to hear the broadcast team. But certainly aware of what happened, just not with the usual commentary. So I want to acknowledge that right off the bat. But this was another pretty good edition of TNA Impact. Not as strong as last week's show, but still, TNA is, despite all of their behind-the-scenes issues, the television product has been very good this year. The streak basically continues. I mean, I think they've probably had three shows that so far this year that I haven't really cared for. But, I mean, every company has at least three shows this year that I haven't really cared for. TNA is doing a much better job. That's the important thing. The broadcast team was Josh Matthews and D'Angelo De Niro. Things opened up with Matt Hardy, Rockstar Spud, Tyrus, Rebby Hardy, and the most important Hardy of them all, Baby Maxwell, coming to the ring. And Matt was, in rare form, just demanding silence from the insignificant nobodies and calling out Jeff. Long story short, he said that Jeff is tarnishing the family name, and he wants him to go by the Charismatic Enigma or Willow or whatever, but he wants the Hardy name to himself. And the fans were chanting Jeff is better at him. Rebby took the mic at one point and said that Jeff won't fight Matt because he knows that Matt is a better wrestler and the better brand. And Jeff said the only thing he's afraid of is Rebby's crazy bitch genes being in their family tree. And Jeff asked if the fans want to see the fight, and then congratulated Matt and said he would have his fight. This was actually set up for next week's show, but we weren't done with the Hardys as they ended up setting up a main event for this. That basically, long story short on this, it was if Jeff wins, then he gets Full Metal Mayhem. If Matt wins, then he gets his I Quit match. I don't think there's anything with the Hardy name on the line, despite all the talk about that. But another example of when, TNA's, they do these extended promos like WWE does at the top of some shows or just at various points in the shows. When Matt Hardy's involved, that's when they shine. He is doing the best mic work of his career. He is really just, he's just really found himself in this role. He did something similar in Ring of Honor when he was going, I can't remember the name of the character, but he was just all out heel. And it was a little more over the top than it is in TNA. He's toned it down just, I think, a notch. I mean, he still says some really over the top things, but it just feels, it feels more realistic. There's something about it that really works. I mean, it's just, he's being a great old school heel. And I like what Rebby brings to the table. I love the addition of Maxwell. Rockstar Spud is kind of the guy lost in this, it seems. And it's too bad because he did such a great job in that feud with EC3 that he's had. But he's back kind of playing a second fiddle role. We'll see if they have something for him. I kind of feel like he's being underutilized because he is such an amazing talent. Just a great talker. Excellent in the ring. And so he's just kind of stuck in a sidekick role right now. But I like what Tyrus brings to the act as well. I mean, they're still kind of playing up. They didn't really follow up last week where the question was, did Tyrus, when he cashed in or was going to cash in, was it a ruse? Was it something that he and Matt had worked out ahead of time? Or was he actually thinking about it, but Matt jumped EC3 to start the match before Tyrus could declare, as they said he had to do, as part of his Bound for Gold title. Basically, he earned a title match by winning a match at Bound for Glory, and I think most of us, even TNA regular viewers, had forgotten about that, or TNA wasn't bringing it up much until last week. We had Matthews hyping EC3 and Mike Bennett, and then we ended up with the Beer Money coming to the ring, and it was time for their invitational match, and they went to a commercial break. When they came back, we ended up with the Bromance coming out, and Matthews saying that it looked like the tag title match was set, and I'm like, oh God, if I could reach for my remote right now, I would, but it wasn't. It wasn't just that. Decay came out as well, and then Eric Young and Bram were out as well, and Young cut up just a brief promo on his way out talking about how he's the most dangerous man in wrestling, and Bram kind of shot him a look as their obvious split continues. They've been planting seeds now for a while. The match itself was Beer Money beating Bromance, Decay, Young, and Bram in 6:25 to retain the TNA tag titles. This was basically set up last week by Rude saying that he's kind of tired of having being the targeted team, and so bring it on, you know, basically come one, come all, let's do this. And it was kind of silly because it's like, well, that's kind of what happens when you're the champions, so you kind of should have expected that. But a bit underwhelming, just as far as not as underwhelming as my God, Beer Money, or I'm sorry, Bromance are back together again, as we saw a couple of weeks ago when they challenged any team from any past TNA champions, and it turned out to be Bromance. They're trying to make Bromance work as babyfaces, and I'm just not buying it. It's not clicking with me at all. But they are limited on tag teams, and obviously they'll be even more limited because of Bobby Roode's departure from the company. But he and Storm do retain here. And I don't even remember where exactly in the tapings, but I assume they are going to be dropping the tag titles with Bobby Roode leaving the company and TNA being aware of it, and Eric Young leaving for that matter, too. So there was another, not that Young and Bram have been exclusively a tag team, but they are we really going to be down to, like, Bromance and Decay, at least until Davey Richards comes back? I see what I guess they need to try to get Bromance over, but Give up the Bromance name and the silly comedy and the look. Just repackage those guys. They went backstage, and this is where Matt and Jeff set up the stipulations for the match. Jeff suggested they have a tag match later in the show, and so he gets to pick his partner. It would be Matt and Tyrus, and Matt wanted the I Quit, and that's where Jeff said if he wins, he wants it to be Full Metal Mayhem, and Matt did a nice job of selling that briefly by not looking very excited about the idea of entering a Full Metal Mayhem match, but ultimately agreeing to it. We went to Maria backstage, where she was going to the ring and talking about how she was going to get what the First Lady of Pro Wrestling deserves, and they went to break. When we came back, it was Eddie Edwards had been apparently taken out by someone backstage. He was selling a shoulder injury, and Matthews was pointing out that he was scheduled to face Trevor Lee for the X Division title. I must have missed that. I don't remember them advertising that last week. I think we can put two and two together as to who did this, but you never know, I guess. I think it was kind of implied later on in the show, but I don't know if they ever officially said. Matthews then hyped that the tag match that the Hardy set up was official, and then it was time for the knockout segment. And it was Maria claiming that she's responsible for the new genesis of the knockouts division, which no one should be talking about right now because there is no new genesis of this knockouts division. It's in bad shape. She keeps bringing up Donald Trump, and as a heel, it's fun. She just said that he asked her how to make America great again, and she says, and of course I helped him. And then she introduced Jade as the new knockouts champion. She wanted credit for Jade becoming the champion, and she even wanted Jade to present her with the title. And Jade wasn't having any of that. That right there, it's like, are we supposed to dislike Jade? I don't know. She's not with Dollhouse, it doesn't seem. And she's not just giving in to Maria. She's not from subservient to Doll. So I'm not quite sure what they want us to think of Jade at this point. Gail Kim comes out, and she said that she hasn't forgotten about her rematch, but she has something more important to take care of. Like, no, I didn't like that line. Nothing should be more important than the title for their division. But it was she was turning her attention to Maria and claiming that Maria knows what the division needs. She said, just because a dog barks the loudest doesn't mean she's the boss. It just means she's a bitch. And nice line. Maria said that she is a lady and they are just dumb wrestlers. She called them all sheep. Marty Bell and Rebel, the other members of Dollhouse, came out and talked about how Maria broke up the Dollhouse family, and she told Jade not to forget where she came from. So I don't know, maybe we're not done with Dollhouse yet. Maybe they're just establishing Jade as the leader. I want to be done with Dollhouse. We've just seen too many changes there. It's time. It's time to get, kind of move on from that. But anyhow, out come Velvet Sky and Madison Rain, and Madison said Maria isn't the boss because Maria wanted control of the division for some reason, and she said that Madison said she is the queen bee of the division because she knows how to lead people. Well, Velvet took a page out of Bram's book and kind of shot her a look, like, really? Out comes Billy Corgan. Shot from the least flattering camera angle in the history of pro wrestling. He looks, you know, when they show him backstage wearing his suit, he looks fine. Well, they did the upward shot, and he just did not look good here. They can edit the show, right? I mean, it was not a good shot. He did not look like the rock star that he is. We'll just say that. Maria was sucking up to him by calling him a rock god and saying he belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Corgan said that TNA is the office is very aware of Maria's machinations. And he said that one of Dixie Carter's proudest achievements, who gives a shit, is the strength, diversity, and passion of the Knockouts division. And he booked Jade in a title match against Madison, and then said that the in-ring action determines what happens, not Maria's scheming and dreaming. All right, we're fine up until this point. Corgan announced that there would be a match next week to determine which one of them is the leader of the Knockouts division. What? Why do they need a leader of the Knockouts division? Maria said it doesn't matter who wins the title match because she will be their boss. She poked Jade, who then swung at her. Maria ducked that, escaped the ring, and then all the women started brawling. A segment that went on too long, involved too many people who, in most cases, are not over. And, you know, I mean, the title isn't over right now. It's too bad what's happened. You know, TNA really was ahead of WWE with what they did with the Knockouts division early on. And I think a lot, it's not that there hasn't been some effort made to do something with this. I think, again, a lot of the acts are stale. And I think TNA has been kind of dated in their approach to things and making it at times feel like it's more about tits and ass as much as anything. They're good about not doing that with Gail Kim, but then they had her just dominate everyone too. And so they have a champion who they're still trying to establish, and you don't know who, if you're supposed to like her or dislike her at this point. It's just kind of a mess, and I don't know that appointing a leader of the division is going to change anything. It's just, you know, it's straight, like, there was a better, I don't even remember what it was, but I think there was a better explanation for Karen Angle, now Karen Jarrett, getting that role, and maybe she was Karen Jarrett at that point, I don't remember, but she kind of had that thing, she had that leadership role going for a bit. It just doesn't make any sense why the office would be like, we're going to have a match to decide which one of you gets to control the division. I think they want to make that Maria's kind of her gig, where she is, you know, she has some storyline power over the division. I wish they would have come up with a more creative way to get there. It's really weak that they would just decide that, yeah, we're going to have a match and then let one of the wrestlers be the leader of their own division. It's just dumb. This was like bad TNA right here. This was kind of a glimpse of, oh yeah, this is how bad the show used to be. We went backstage where EC3 said Mike Bennett is an extraordinary talent, but he's not a deity. And EC3 said he's accountable for everything he has ever done, yet apologizes for none of it, because it made him the star that he is today. And he said he did learn humility, and that if he stands on his own, he can be the absolute best in the industry. And he said he will teach Bennett a lesson in ass-kicking. Good stuff. This was good EC3. He wasn't trying to be cute or clever. He just delivered really a top guy brief promo. You know, I mean, he made himself out to be a star, and I like that he's not apologetic for his past actions. You know, he's not a remorseful guy. Didn't know if they would take that approach where he would be. He just came off like a star here, much more than he does when he's doing like rock light humor is how it comes across at times. We went to Trevor Lee and Gregory Shane Helms in the ring. And it's more of the same. Lee just stands there, and Helms does all the talking. And Helms said that he prepared to beat Lee. He had Lee prepared to beat Eddie Edwards, but Edwards was lying face down on the floor backstage. And he said, no one has the balls to come out and face Lee. And he challenged anyone to prove him wrong. Out comes DJZ, wearing some goofball mask. And as I noted last night, .NET staffer John Moore, he's our young guy. He's going to have to explain this one to me if there's some connection that I'm missing. But I want to point out that I like Seema Ion, not a fan of DJZ, and it kind of looked like this was an updated version of this. How about you give up on the DJ thing? And I know he does it in real life, But I interviewed him on the All Access side at one point, and he can't even use the name. So it's not like he is relying. I'm sure he gets some exposure. He said people recognize him a bit, but it's not like he relies on the name. You know, this for free advertising. It's strange. Just go back to Zema Ion and give up on this wrestling DJ thing. It's so corny. But he ends up beating Trevor Lee in a non-title match in 3 minutes. Eddie Edwards ran out and there was no Eddie Edwards involved in the pin. Z just caught Lee with an inside cradle for the upset, and then Helms was about to attack Z afterward, and that's when Eddie Edwards ran out. So, yeah, I didn't like this finish either. I think that Trevor Lee is a nice get for TNA, a guy that people have been buzzing about on the independent scene in the Carolinas, and then certainly he's been working with PWG as well. And so it's a nice get for them, and it's a guy that they can kind of build the X division around. And then you have Eddie Edwards now, who, unfortunately, with the injury to Davey Richards, but you know, still a good opponent for him. I think they can do some good things together, and you're having DJ Z beat Lee, and it's all because I think they wanted to set up a triple threat match for next week. Not worth it. Establish Trevor Lee as like this very strong, dominant champion. You know, they just don't have anything going in the X division either, and so at least make the champion look good. I'm not, and maybe, you know, I hope I'm not sounding hypocritical because I went too far with Gail Kim at just dominating everyone, but I think Lee is the type that, as you're trying to establish him, don't make him look vulnerable. Don't make him that guy. That's just not what he does, and it didn't work, and so I didn't care for this, but yeah, they eventually, and it was just a little bit after this that they announced that we would be getting that match, I think, next week. We went to Mike Bennett delivering a backstage promo. They had kind of a unique backdrop for this, and looked like it was smoky or fog, I'm not sure which. But he said that he is writing EC3's history, and tonight is the chapter where he kicks his ass. You know, I'm still not a big fan of the whole miracle bit, but I gotta say that Mike Bennett is delivering his promos with confidence now. He's found himself. Not that he was completely unconfident or anything when he first debuted as the Miracle. He did a nice job then, but he just feels like he's really just growing more comfortable and just delivering just excellent promos at this point. Last week especially was the one that jumped out, and this week was more of the same, and so that's really good to see. I still don't know if this Miracle thing is going to click. I don't know if they know exactly what it's supposed to be. It's kind of a cool entrance. I could do without the big lengthy piece that Maria does at the beginning of it. The entrance is kind of the coolest thing about it, and then he's just kind of trying to work in some connection to it, it feels like, during a lot of his promos. But again, he's doing a nice job. They went to a commercial. When they came back, you had Jeff being asked about his partner by the anonymous guy backstage, and he said he had the perfect partner. Enter Drew Galloway. And he said that Jeff had his back last week, and tonight he has his. So nice connection to last week's show. Then ring introductions for the EC3 and Bennett match took place, and we got that big spiritual introduction from Maria. And the match itself was Mike Bennett beating EC3 by DQ. They gave EC3, I think, I caught two. I may have missed one. They were talking about three visual pinfalls. He had wins. That he was three visual falls. One of them may have been a submission. In fact, it was. Bennett was tapping out. The referee got caught up with Maria at one point. And so it was just things like that. And I thought it was a bit much. And I'm like, well, they must be giving Bennett the win then. No, I mean, it was by DQ because EC3 ended up beating him with a chair. And you know, just hitting him with a chair to get the DQ and then doing so repeatedly after the match. I felt it was a bit lopsided. This is a match that I think I was excited about, and I think TNA should be. I think they want to do right by Mike Bennett. I just don't know that this was it. Maybe there's a longer story at play where EC3 is just not going to be able to beat this guy. But I still think he started off with, if you're going to go to the lengths they did to show that EC3 is better than Mike Bennett, I think you cap it off with Bennett, you know, just getting a cheap win instead of taking the approach, the DQ approach. So I didn't like this finish either. We got some footage of the Al Snow and Grado drama, and then Snow delivered a promo backstage. He was talking about being suspended for a week without pay for attacking Grado and Mahabali Shera, and he had a time to reflect and realized he was wrong, and he wanted to speak with Shera in the ring. They go to a commercial. When they come back, Al Snow is out there, and Shera comes out, and he's all just fired up and pissed off and winds up to hit Snow, who just asked for a chance to explain, And he talked about how he's been doing this a long time, and he would pay for Grado's medical bills. He wants the two of them to get better, and he wants to help them. He just said that Shara starts yelling that he has to show respect for younger peoples, I think he said. And he said that he respects every person in the ring. And then Snow said he was wrong and he's sorry, and again said that he would do everything he could to help them, offered Grado his hand, or Shara his hand, because Grado wasn't there. And Shara accepted, and then they hugged, and then they start to leave the ring together, and Snow runs him into the ring steps, and then starts punching Shara repeatedly and yelling at him. And the fans were so bothered by all of this, they started yelling, "You've still got it," at Al Snow. Not a ton of them, but enough that it was like, the only ones who seemed to care about this were chanting for Al Snow. I know they got to have the you know, Shara on the show to please Sony 6, a big broadcast partner that a television partner that's paying them a lot of money. But as I mentioned last night, just doing a quick Google search, 1.252 billion people, I think it was as of 2013, that are in India. They can't find one who's better than Shara. And I'm not trying to crap all over the guy because he's very green. Maybe he will develop into something. But right now, there isn't someone else who's ready that they could bring in for this to please Sony 6. It was like his dad, the owner of the company. I don't get it. He's terrible. I really am not excited about Snow and Shara at all. Snow and Grado could be okay, but I mean, this kind of eye-rolling material here. We went backstage where Tyrus told Galloway that he might need a bodyguard because bad things happen to good people all the time, and he reminded him that he gets his title shot anytime he wants. And then the hype was on for the main event. Backstage, Al Snow got a good promo, just calling Grado a fat turd, and said he doesn't need to be told to apologize to him. He said it's his world, and this is what he's done to feed his family for 34 years. He said things are the way they are, and they always will be. And he said that if Shara wants his respect, he should earn it by facing him in the ring. I mean, just, you know, good promo from Snow. Just good intensity backstage. Fifth match was Jade beating Madison Rayne to retain the TNA Knockouts title. And in fairness to them, this is the one I was most distracted by, just because of the news of Balls Mahoney passing away, coming out around this time, and getting confirmation via Tommy Dreamer's Twitter page, because Dreamer had spoken with John Rechner, a.k.a. Balls Mahoney's wife. And so I can't really give you an honest assessment of this match, but so Jade retains the title, and she actually got a clean pin in her first title defense. I guess the only thing I would take from this is that I mentioned earlier, I don't know what we're supposed to feel for Jade, babyface heel. She did work a babyface here, and she's kind of been feuding with Gail Kim, so maybe she is still a heel. I think they need to do a better job of defining her character. We get shots of Matt Hardy and Tyrus walking together, and then the same for their opponents, and Matthews was hyping their match going into a commercial, and then when they came back, they announced Trevor Lee against Eddie Edwards against DJZ for the X Division title for next week's show. They also announced the Knockouts match for control of the division, don't get me started, and then the Hardy versus Hardy match with the stipulation to be determined via the main event that was coming up. We got entrances for that with Jeremy Borash doing the ring introductions, and it was Matt Hardy and Tyrus defeating Jeff Hardy and Drew Galloway. Again, I did not have the volume up because I was taking phone calls as this match was going on, but I did get to keep an eye on it. And it ended with, you had Rebby running out with her purse, and she hands Matt, I think it's like a small hammer. He jabs Jeff, and I think in the gut with it. And then I believe he hit a twist of fate, and he got the pin. But it was thanks to the hammer, Matt Hardy ends up winning the match. And then afterward, Matt, Rebby, and Tyrus left together, and Lashley comes out and attacks Galloway. I think he probably threw Jeff aside or something like that, but he ended up spearing. Jeff was still, you know, selling the effects of the hammer, but he spears Galloway and then headed up the ramp, and then he was kind of smiling and proud of himself, and Galloway stands up on the floor, and then Lashley returns to spear him again at ringside. I think he did it into the ring steps, and then he entered the ring, picked up the TNA title belt, and posed with it while Galloway was still selling at ringside to close the show. It wasn't to close the show, because we did get a video package for next week that showed black and white footage of Jeff Hardy performing, they were showing the slow motion version of a Swanton bomb from a very high place, and they didn't show him landing. So you know he's going to do it. And I like that they didn't, it's probably the finish of the match. I don't know. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know what the spoiler is for this match. It may be. It may not be. I mean, it could be. Does Matt Hardy move? Is it even Matt Hardy down there? Did he put Rockstar Spud on the table? Could be a number of things. So I like that they gave you the teaser without giving anything away. So, good. And as far as the match becoming an I Quit match instead of Full Metal Mayhem, isn't pretty much anything legal in an I Quit match anyway? But still, whatever. It's a match I'm looking forward to. Matt versus Jeff next week, and I like that. I like the angle with Lashley and Drew Galloway. I just fear that they're kind of painting themselves into a corner on this one. At least that's how I see it. I hope they have a way out of this because I think Lashley is doing a great job as a strong heel. Assuming that both guys are around for a while, and it's not like one of them is leaving or anything. And I haven't heard that. Just throwing that out there as a possibility. But if they are both going to be around, I want Lashley to remain dominant. I don't want him losing to Galloway or anyone else right now. And it's too soon for Galloway to drop the title. So it's kind of a tough spot. I hope they find a way to get themselves out of this without doing either one of those things. They can do a crappy DQ, but at that point it's like, well, why didn't you just save this? This is a match that I would have built to for Bound for Glory. And they may be looking at, we're going to go with EC3 and Drew Galloway at Bound for Glory. I don't know. But I just think if Lashley's around for the long haul and Galloway is as well, this is one that I take my time building to, and I think it looks like they're about to rush into this. Hopefully, they have a good finish in mind. But overall, again, there were some clunky moments on this show, not as good as last week's show, but I still like the way they're telling most of their stories. I like that we're getting some quality matches on the television show, and I like that they're doing a good job of setting up their main event, making it feel like the most important thing on the show, as it should, and then also doing a nice job of setting up the next show. It's not just, here's our show, and we hope you tune in next week. We know three matches going into next week's show. So they're doing some really good things in TNA, and I find myself looking forward to it rather than dreading it, which I'm not going to lie, at one point it was just kind of a burden, like, oh yeah, TNA coverage, here we go. Well, now it's actually Tuesday night. I look forward to the show. I wish Pop TV was in HD, and I wish they had On Demand so I could watch that Schitt's Creek show from beginning to end, but that's probably not anything well, that's definitely not TNA's problem. I wish DirecTV would get together with Pop TV and rectify that, maybe someday. But enough of me complaining about my petty little problems. Hey, tomorrow, Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett will be by with the All Access Daily podcast, and very likely the same duo will be back on Friday for you guys. I will be by on Friday this week with the .NET Weekly Audio Show. I've got a dentist appointment tomorrow. Lucky me. So Friday is the day that Will Pruitt and I are going to get together and discuss all the news of the week. That show should be available for you early Friday afternoon, I guess, depending on where you live. But Central and East Coast, I would say early afternoon at the very latest, just because of Will's schedule that day. Looking forward to getting together with Will. It's been a while since he and I have chatted on .NET Weekly. It'll be a good time. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Go into the sign-up area. And remember that membership rates start for as little as $7.50 for 1 month. And of course, you can save yourself some money if you take either the 6 month or annual option. The membership site is ad-free, and you get a ton of exclusive audio content. Finally, today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast and take a second to rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated when you do that. You are helping spread the word about the podcast, and for that matter, a big thanks to everybody out there who take the time to retweet the link that I put out there on our Twitter page at ProWrestlingNet. You're doing the same. You're helping spread the word, and it's very much appreciated. So until next time, this has been Jason Powell. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care.